This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. اليوم الثالث من شهر صفر 1445 الموافق ل 19 من شهر أغسطس 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last time, and if I'm not wrong we stopped at the hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أراد غزوة ورى بغيرها. كعب بن مالك, one of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and one of those three that refused to follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم during the battle of Tabuk. This is the last battle, or maybe you can. So he is one of those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that refused to go with him, not because he doesn't like to go to the jihad, but unfortunately deception of the shaitan that dominated his thinking at that time. So he favored the dunya and the muta of the dunya over going and joining the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle. So, and you know that story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So they lived a long period of time in that punishment where everyone has to stay away from talking to them. Nobody is allowed to talk to them. And nobody is allowed to even say salam to them. If they say salam, you can reply, but no conversation. Even their wives have to leave the place. And subhanAllah, it was very, very, very heavy punishment on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. You know, it's like they're living in one room. Yeah, imagine, the size of the earth, but they feel like they're just living in one room. Yeah, because your wife cannot talk to you. She's even commanded to leave the place after a few days, and your brothers cannot talk to you. You cannot talk to anyone. So, ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ بَلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for them, so they resist, you know, the test. They do not submit to shaitan. أَذْكُرْ كَعَبْ, when the Malik Ghassan أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِ رِسَالَةً بَلَغَنَا أَنَّ صَحِبَكَ قَدْ جَفَاكَ. He says, he received a letter from the king of Ghassan. And the king of Ghassan told him, we received a message, a news that says that صَحِبَكَ قَدْ جَفَاكَ. Your friend disrespected you and neglected you. And you should know that, this is Malik Ghassan is telling Ka'b ibn Malik, you should know that you are not a person that should tolerate this. You are in a high position because he was one of the poets, the reference amongst the Arabs in terms of wisdom. You know. But then he told him, فَالْحَقْ بِنَا نُوَاسِيكَ, come to us. we will honor you, we will respect you. Just leave him and come to us. So Hala Ka'ab said, he says, now I understand that definitely this is a test, a big musibah. You know, he doesn't realize it that much until the time this letter comes to him. He said, now he understands that, yes, this is really a test. He says, my problem, you know, took me to the level where a kafir is having hope in me. That I change, I come and support them against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Asking himself, what did I do to myself? You know, my test or my problem, you know, reached the level that, you know, even the kuffar are having a hope in me, you know, to convert to that belief and supporting them. So he took the letter and he burnt it completely. Subhanallah, he said, Utitul Jadal. It's quite interesting. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me ability to debate well. If I do debate, the possibility of somebody winning is very low. He said, I know how to convince Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I know how to talk to make him believe that I'm saying the truth. I know I'm lying, but I know how to make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believe in that I'm speaking the truth. But he says, if I do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a wahai to him and tell him this person is a liar. So I ask, is there anyone who speaks the truth with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He told him, yes. Who? They mentioned two brothers from those who participated in Badr. He said, these ones are better than me. I'm also going to follow their way. So they live in that state of difficulty, that punishment, spiritual kind of punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in. But at the end of the day, Allah says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. You know, Allah talk about those three who did not follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle. حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحْمَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the ayah, he says, he forgave them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayah to the companions. Somebody rush, you know, they were a group of people rush, you know, to Ka'ab to go and give him the news. Subhanallah. One of them was riding, one of them was running, you know. The one who was running realizes that the rider is going to reach before him. So he shouted. He says, Ka'ab, the tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. So these are companions, you know. That's how much they love each other. Each one of them is rushing to be the one who will deliver the news to him. And when he meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. There are two different smiles. At the first, when he met him, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled, he says, I know that that smile was not a smile of somebody who is happy. But now the second smile is a real one. He was happy with it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, take a good news about the best day that ever passed through your life, منذ ولدتك أمك, since the day you were born. You Allah, to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the best day. The day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted you, this is the best day for a believer. Because the objective of life is to have that acceptance. Is to have that acceptance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And he was so happy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that conclusion. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqu allaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with the truthful ones. I love this conclusion so much, you know, because it tells you only saying and speaking the truth can take you to success, can save you, actually. In Arabic, they said, hablul kadhibi qasir. The rope of lying is very, very short. Yeah, soon people will realize that you are lying and you get into trouble, which if you have spoken the truth, they will not go through the difficulty they went through in terms of knowing who is right, whether you are saying the truth or not. And they will be able to forgive you, even like Azawajal. So Ka'b ibn Malik said, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أراد غزوة ورى بغيرها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he fights a people, ورى بغيرها. ورى بغيرها means he will use tawriya. For instance, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he is going to this direction, yeah, he's going to this direction, he will not tell them I'm going to this direction. He will tell them I'm going to here. Yeah. We're going here. And they will go there. They'll go through this direction. But they're aiming for this, totally opposite. Or here, you know, which is at the side. Why is that? Because you have to disguise yourself. You know, you cannot trust everyone. And in Medina, you know, the munafiqun, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, he says, there are munafiqun. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرَدُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ لَا تَعَلَمُهُمْ نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. Subhanallah. Allah says, from the people of Medina, there are people who are deeply rooted in the nifaq. لَا تَعَلَمُهُمْ نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. Allah said, you don't know them, we know them. Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be very careful. You know, when he talks, he has to be very careful, because those munafiqeen, they send message to their allies. You know, they have alliance with the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of Medina. They always send message to them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he does is to tell people that I'm going this way, and he is going to another way. This is what is called tawriya. Tawriya, as we always mention, tawriya is haram in Islam. According to the best opinion of the scholars, tawriya is haram. What is tawriya? To speak a word that has two meanings. You are intending the farthest one, but the one that you're speaking to will understand the closest meaning, which everyone understands. But you're talking about the farthest one. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scholar said, tawriya is haram, is lying. If somebody does it, he will get sin, except if he is oppressed. He's in danger. He realized that there is no way for him to go out of it except if he tells the tawriya. Then he can go for that. So Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, who are you? By one of the Arabs on his way to Makkah, on his way to meet the Quraysh during the Battle of Badr. He said, نَحْنُ مِنَ الْمَا. What is ma? Water, right? They ask him, who are you? He said, نَحْنُ مِنَ الْمَا. We are from water. What do you understand from this? Water, most likely, is a tribe or a place called this name. So that person went, and he's talking to himself. Which water is he talking about? Is he talking about the water in Iraq or the water in this place? Or, yeah, but the Prophet ﷺ is referring to the origin of human being. Everyone is from water. So this is tawriya. Ibrahim ﷺ, when that bad ruler asked him, who is this woman with you? He said, she's my wife. No, he said, she is my sister. She is my sister. But did he mean biological sister? No, not at all. He meant a sister in Islam, and she is his sister in Islam. You get the idea? She is his sister in Islam. Yeah. Unless if he's going to go to the biological connections down there to Adam alayhi salam. That's also true, because all of us are going back to Adam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullukum min Adam. Or Adam in Turab. He says, all of you are coming from Adam, and Adam's from clay. So a shahid, tawriya is only permissible if you are oppressed and there is no way for you except to go for the tawriya. Then you can go for the tawriya to save your life, to save the life of your family, your brother, you know, to get away from a trouble that you will be in. Then you go for tawriya. Other than that, tawriya is lying. If a person does it, he is lying. And when it comes to the judgment, you know, there is no tawriya, unless if you're oppressed, the court cases. Yeah, unless if you're oppressed. That's why, since people do tawliyah when they are in the court, the Prophet ﷺ said, if a judge asks you to swear by Allah, and then you do tawliyah, you know, because this is what they do. That guy, you remember, who went to the land and sat, and the judge asked him, because the clash is between him and another person about a land. So the judge asked him, let's go to the place, and I want to see the land first. So he went to the land, and both of them are standing on the land. And then the judge asked him, can you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this land is yours? He said, yes. He said, Uqsimu billah, I swear by Allah that whatever was stepped by my feet is mine. And he was wearing shoes at that time. What was he intending? His shoes. But what does the judge understand? The land. The man also understands the land. But the one who is swearing, he is intending shoes. Yeah, because he was wearing shoes. So he says, whatever my feet step on is mine. So his feet directly step on the shoes. The shoes step on the land. But he's not talking about the shoes, he's talking about himself. You get it? So that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he got these guys. He said, يَمِينُكَ عَلَى مَا يُصَدِّقُكَ بِهِ صَاحِبُكَ. In another place, الْيَمِينُ عَلَى نِيَّةِ الْمُسْتَحْلِفِ. Your oath, your swearing is supposed to be, is wajib, that it has to be based on what that person entrusted you in. So we're talking about this particular issue. Your swearing is based on this. Yeah, if a person goes and does something else, which we don't know what is in his heart, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Yeah, he has to know this properly. That يَمِينُكَ عَلَى مَا يَصَدِّقُكَ بِهِ صَاحِبُكَ الْيَمِينُ عَلَى نِيَّةِ الْمُسْتَحْلِفِ. The one who asks you to swear, the judge or the person, when you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be based on what they ask you to do, not swearing for something else. So a shahid, tawliyah is haram unless if you need it. These are the places where you need to make the tawliyah. And that's why in certain, battles, like the battle of Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he do the tawliyah? No, he did not do the tawliyah. Yeah, when he goes to Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do the tawliyah. Why he did not do the tawliyah? Because people need to prepare. Yeah, at that time it was very hot, extremely hot actually. And also the poverty and the need is very, very strong. People are in a state of need. No money, for them to even contribute or to participate. So, and at that time it was, wajib for them to move. Yeah, they cannot stand the Romans coming to Medina. That's tragedy. Yeah, they will get the protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we have to use asbab. So they have to go and meet them there. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told people, let's go. In this middle of the high temperature. So that's why he stays away from his usual, behavior, which is to do the tawliyah when he's going to the place. He tells them, we are going to Tabuk. Yeah, because the journey also is very long, They need to know so that you will know what are you agreeing on. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has the authority to tell them, you have to go, and they have to go. But still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it with leniency and wisdom. He told them, we're going to Tabuk. And you know how long, how far is the place? And the situation a person knows, and they are going to be exposed to the high temperature. There will be no cloud to come and give them shade, or al-mannu was-salwa, food coming from the heavens. Allah did not promise that. Tabuk was a test. Yeah, Tabuk was a test. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do the tawliyah during the battle of the Tabuk, but usually he does the tawliyah whenever he goes to a place. وَأَنْ مَعْقِلِ بِنْ نُعْمَانِ إِبْنِ مُقَرْدٍ قَالَ شَهِدْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا لَمْ يُقَاتِلْ أَوَّلَ النَّهَارِ أَخَّرَ الْقِتَالَ حَتَّى تَزُولَ الشَّمْسُ وَتَهُبَّ الرِّيَاحُ وَيَنْزِلَ النَّصُّ. Ma'qil ibn Nu'man said, witness a behavior by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that إِذَا لَمْ يُقَاتِلْ فِي أَوَّلِ النَّهَارِ, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not fight في أول النهار, the beginning of the morning, you know, right after Fajr, أَخَّرَ الْقِتَالَ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he does if he doesn't fight the beginning of the day, أَخَّرَ الْقِتَالَ, he will delay the fighting. حَتَّى تَهُبَّ الرِّيَاحُ وَتَحْضُرُ وَيَنْزِلَ النَّصْرُ, until the time the wind emerges, starts to become stronger, and the victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالُوا وَالْحِكْمَةُ فِي تَأْخِيرِ هِي إِلَى وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ أَنَّهُ مَظُنَّةِ إِجَابَةِ الدُّعَاءِ, and in some narrations, وَتَحْضُرَ الصَّلَوَاتِ, until the time the prayer comes first. So he will wait for the prayer to arrive first, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will fight. They said the wisdom, wallahu alam, behind this attitude, why is he waiting until the time that the prayer time comes? He said because this is one of the best time for the dua to be made, and one of the most expected moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our dua. وَأَمَّا هُبُوبُ الرِّيَاهِ, you get it right. So he will wait first because he's going to make dua. And subhanAllah, fighting the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam based on going with the norm. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah can give him the miracle. Those people, by seeing him, they melt, they die. Is that possible? Yes. You Allah, he doesn't need to fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can just let him go, and Allah will just do the job like he did in the Battle of Ahzab and during the time of Imam al-Mahdi. For those of you who go through Ashrat al-Sa'ah, Imam al-Mahdi is going to fight the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he will reach a city. The half of the city will collapse by takbir. Just say Allahu Akbar. The half of the balad will be gone. To get an idea, who is better, al-Mahdi or Rasulullah? There is not even room of comparison, actually. You get it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can get it. But subhanAllah, in Islam, the system is built upon what? Doing things according to the norm. Because if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get it, the people who will replace him afterward, they will not get this. Allah can do it with everyone, but usually these type of thing comes with the prophets. So we have to learn how to do it manually, right? We have to know how to do it manually. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will wait for the time for the prayer to arrive so that he can raise up his hand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support him. Sometimes he make long dua and cry a lot. You know, look at the Battle of Badr, until the time Abu Bakr started to tell him, Ya Rasul, you know, he raised up his hand, you know, you can see the armpit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he cries a lot. His garment fell down. He said, Ya Allah, if these people are to be killed, nobody will worship you after this. He worried so much he worried. Abu Bakr told him, Ya Rasulullah, it's okay, don't worry. Allah is going to give you, you know. SubhanAllah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it doesn't have anyone that is like Abu Bakr, always with him. You know, at that time he went, he told him, Ya Rasulullah, don't worry, it's okay, Allah is going to help. And subhanAllah, he hears the best from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they told him, Ya Rasulullah, we will not tell you like what the Jews, you know, the Jews, they told Musa alayhi salam, they said, we will never get into the city as long as these guys are there. They went and they see the Amaliqa, those huge and giant people there in Bayt al-Maqdis. They said, we will not go. فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَائِدٌ, you go. These are the Jews, right? They said, you go. They are talking to their prophet. You go, you and your Lord, and fight. Inna ma, inna hauna qa'idun. We are here. We will never go anywhere. The companion said, Ya Rasul, don't worry. We will not tell you what the Jews told their prophet Musa alayhi salam. But we will say to you, idhhab anta rabbuka faqatila. Go, you and your Lord, and fight. Inna ma'akuma muqatilun. We are going to fight together with you. Subhanallah. See, totally the opposite. Because you worry so much about them, what will happen to them, especially the vast majority of them are from Muhajirin or the Ansar. The Ansar. And the Ansar, they just accommodated him and accepted him and they supported him. And now he took their Shabab and then he goes to the place and they were killed. That's why he worried so much. Although they will not say anything because they know that this is not he himself killing them. This is Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's better for them. But still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worried because he just knew in the place. That's why to make him feel satisfied and relaxing more, they told him, Ya Rasulullah, if you command us to reach the Barq al-Ghimad, al-Ghamad, if you ask us to reach this place, they said, Allahu Alam, this is a place in Yemen, between them and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are 14 cities, you know, it's always there in Yemen. Between this place and that place where they mentioned, they say, Rasulullah, if you ask us to go to that place, we're going to leave right from now. We don't need to go back home and make a preparation first. We just move to the place. Why they mentioned this place? According to some, they said, because between that place and where the Prophet ﷺ is located, you have around 14 cities. Each one of them is an enemy to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does that mean? They're going to engage in fighting how many times? 14 times. They say, we don't mind. Just let us know what is your decision. They say, we don't mind. He said, the companions, totally contrary to the Jew who told Musa alayhi salam, idhab anta rabbuka faqatila inna hauna qa'idun. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does things manually. Right, Allah can bring the miracle, but Allah let us go with the system in the way it is. So he will wait first until the time to pray comes, so that he can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him the victory. قَالَ وَأَمَّا هُبُوبُ الرِّيَاحِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ بِهِ النَّصْرُ فِي الْأَحْزَابِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. Allah. فكان توخي هبوب الرياح مظنة للنصر النصر وقد علل علل بأن الرياح تهب غالبا بعد الزوال فيحصل به تبريد حد السلاح للحرب والزيارة للنشاط ولا يعرض هذا ما ورد من أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يغيب صباحا لأن هذا في الإغارة وذلك عند المصالفة للقتال. So he says, we know why in some narrations they said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will wait first until the prayer time, right? Yeah. So that he will be having time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the best way to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about waiting for this for the reeh, the wind, to emerge, you know, and to be as strong as possible? They said, because, Wallahu A'lam, because in the past, Allah helped them with what? With the reeh, in the battle of Ahzab, right? فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرُوحًا. Allah sent to them reeh. What is the reeh? The wind, right? It destroyed their tent. It, you know, subhanAllah, flipped the food and the parts, you know. They don't know what to do. Now they are busy, you know, trying to fix their tent back. And how do you fight in the middle of this hurricane here? So the wind was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So since it is attached to help and victory, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be waiting for the time when the wind start to emerge and then he fight. You get an idea? And they said usually, you know, in those areas, the reeh the wind usually emerges and becomes stronger after the zawal. After the zawal. That means after the time of Dhuhr prayer arrives. You get the idea? Yeah. And at that time also, since there is a wind, it's a bit cold weather, right? Yeah, so that the weapons will be at the best, you know, status. They will be able to hold it properly and fight in the best way. Wallahu alam. Anyway, wallahu alam. What exactly is the wisdom? The scholar is trying to bring things closer to us. Yeah, trying to bring things closer to us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he doesn't fight in the early morning, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will wait first, because usually at night people don't fight. Wait first after Fajr, then you go on and get them. Like the Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reached Khaybar. He waited first, until after Fajr. People started coming to their farms. Because their farms usually are out of the fortresses. So they came out. They were confronted, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They never knew that he came. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knows how to plan. He planned in a way, although one of the munafiqeen managed to reach the Jew and inform them about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's intention. Yeah, they have two people. One of them is a Jew and one of them is a munafiqeen. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the one from the munafiqeen, from the Jew. But he did not manage to get the one from the munafiqeen. You can see how dangerous are these guys. So he managed to go and tell the Khaybar, but still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did a nice job. He managed to reach the place before the people in Khaybar knows that he already arrived. They know he is coming, but they never thought he already is in the place. One of those, I guess, Uyayna bin Hisn, he brought his people to go and cooperate with the Jew. He's from the Arab, but, subhanAllah, they said on the way, there was a sound, there was a voice that shouted and tell them that you have to go back to your family because there is something there. So he parked his, army, he wasn't willing to do that. He packed them back to his place. The Prophet ﷺ tried to convince him not to do, because they're going to trap the Muslims. They're going towards Khaybar, and behind them you have 1,500 soldiers also. And that's really, really a tragedy, because if the Prophet ﷺ is going to go, he will be trapped between two enemies, Jews and this person from the Arabs who is behind him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kafahu. The sound comes. They don't know where is the source of this sound. And they went to their family. They couldn't find anything. But at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already reached Khaybar. There is nothing to be done by those ones. A shahid, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Khaybar, so he waited first to hear whether there is adhan or not, because this is necessary so that you will not fight Muslims, right? Fight Muslims, because you might be in a place whereby you think they are still your enemy, but they change. You get the idea? So the salah and the adhan will let you, understand that, yes, there is Islam in this place. That's why Islamically, is it halal to stay away from adhan? No. If a people stay away from adhan, it is wajib upon the authority to fight them. The leaders in the country, they have to fight anyone who stays away from the adhan. Let's say there is a city, they don't want to make the adhan. The leader, the president, the king, they have to fight them. They have to force them to make it, because adhan is one of the sha'air of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a symbol, it's a sign that shows that, yes, Islam does exist in a place. So when those farmers came out of Khaybar to go to their farms and they met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with that kind of jaysh, they call it al-khamis. Khamis means an army that you divided into five groups. Front, behind, and right side, and left side, and the middle. Yeah, that's the way they do it. In the past, this is how they do. And this is necessary. You know, they have to go with this, you know, because sometimes they need to change this, the strategy. Khalid bin Walid, he succeeded in fighting the Romans, you know, during the Battle of the Mu'ta. You know, because they kept on coming like ants, around 200,000, and he's only 3,000 people. SubhanAllah, when those three companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the leaders of that battle, Zayd ibn Haritha, who else? Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and Abdullah ibn Rawah. They're all killed. And now somebody took the flag and handed it to Khalid. That was the first battle. He gave it to Khalid ibn al-Walid, the Battle of Mu'ta. Khalid said, I lost 9 swords. 9 swords. But don't forget, these guys are 200,000, you know. So they kept on coming, you know. They kept on coming. Khalid ibn Walid, and having experience throughout his life, I think his life is all battles. They said there was no place, no spot in his body, except that you find some scratches of the sword or spear. It's all, every part of him is injuries. That's why when he died at home, he says, I went through so many battles. There's no place where I did not go, you know, in fighting. He fights here and there. And he says, وَهَا أَنَا أَمُوتُ كَمَا تَمُوتُ الْإِبْلِ. And he says, and here am I dying just like the way the camels are dying in their own places. You know? He says, فَلَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَا. He says, I ask Allah not to give chance for a coward person to sleep. Because the story of Khalid is a very excellent example for anyone to understand that joining the battle, you know, if it is necessary, is not a confirmation of your death. Yeah, Khalid went through all of these battles, I think 90 or more than 90, you know. But he came back to die on his bed, you know. Just like that. So during the battle of the Mu'ta, so that means death is in the hand of Allah, he controls. If he says you will die like this, you Allah, a person has to die. And if the time doesn't arrive, a person has to wait for that time first. Ibn Thamin was narrating a story, very subhanAllah, sad story, but it shows that if Allah fixes a time for something, you Allah, you cannot bring the thing before that time. He said two people came to the junction where you have the traffic lights. Okay? So I'm giving chance to those people, and you have, you know, a T junction or the complete junction or whatever. You know, so a motorcycle came, and a car also came. You know, the motorcycle brother, you know, stopped for the car to move. And the car guy also stopped. So, you know, this happens always, right? You stop for him, he stops. And these are one of the most dangerous things, you know. Because usually, this is my personal experience, usually the time you decided to move, he also already lost hope that you will move. He starts moving. So you're going to meet in the middle. If Allah protects, you will be quick and pass the death. So this is what happened. This one stop and that one stop. This one move and this one move a bit. You know, they stop, both of them. The time they understand, you know, qadr. Because what do we do in our time? In some countries. In some countries, is a warning. Yeah, some countries, you give the full light to him. He knows what. Now is you just move. You know. Some says in some places, when you see the full light, it's a warning. Don't come. Or sometimes you bring your hand and tell him, go. But qadr, you know, ayyuhallah, reading about the qadr is interesting. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا هَيَّأْ لَهُ أَسْبَابًا. When Allah wants something to happen, the brain will be blocked. Yeah. Everything that can lead you to stop the thing, Allah SWT will block the way to it. A person might not think about it completely. Might not think about it completely. So, end of the day, this one moved, this one stopped, you know. So they moved together at the same time. And they collided. Who died? Not the driver, the one that he carries behind, lost his life. Why the delay? You know, they could just come the motorcycle in the way they do nowadays, just come straight forward as if you're moving in your house, you know. And the car also thinks that, yeah, this is my right because the traffic light gives me. You know, motorcycles, sometimes when I see them, I used to think, until now, I think, these people, do they think their life has value or not? Yeah. The traffic light is green. They just come, you know, inside. And subhanAllah, my thought sometimes is correct. I was at the corner one day. I think this is the first person I hit in my life. I came to the corner. I look at this side. Nobody's coming. I look at this side. Nobody's coming. SubhanAllah. I just start moving. There is one rocket that was shot, you know, as a motorcycle. I don't know from where he came. SubhanAllah, by the time I tried to stop the car, he already reached the place. So alhamdulillah, it just touched him. But this is motorcycle, if you're in the car, it just touched him a bit. He fell down. When he fell down, the gear of the motorcycle was broken. I went out of the car. I told him, brother, I'm very sorry. I did the necessary, and I did not see you. Just pop up from nowhere, you know. But forget about this. Are you okay? The man was really annoyed. I said, I just want to know, are you okay? But he just kept on looking at his motorcycle, checking what happened to the motorcycle. I told him, brother, please, I just want to know, are you okay? Or, it's not a lot. Well, I was annoyed with him, actually, you know. I was like, what kind of life we're living in? And then on the day, he was very mad, you know. He told me, can you see what happened to the motorcycle? I said, okay, I know, the motorcycle get affected, but I want to know about you, are you okay? He said, this motorcycle, now this thing is broken. I told him, okay, since this is not an issue, he doesn't care about his life. I told him, okay, now how much should I pay for this to fix it, since you're okay? He said, 10 ringgit. I said, 10? Well, I was like, your life doesn't have a value, you know, you worry so much about this. I told my friend, I don't have cash at that time. I told my friend, please, he said, I have 30 ringgit. I said, please give him, you know. So, subhanAllah, I think it doesn't work. Yeah. So, subhanAllah, that's why I said sometimes I believe that some of these people, their life doesn't have value, you know. Their life doesn't have value. Otherwise, if a person believes that his life has value, he will follow the rules of the traffic. He will follow the rules. But unfortunately, we don't think in this way. So the thing is, this man was waiting, and that one was waiting so that they can complete the ajal. If they just come like this and collide, this person will die before the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed for him. Yeah, so that they can complete the ajal. That person who fell down, I guess, in Riyadh from 36-story, you know, building in Riyadh or any place, Wallahu alam, but one of the Saudi scholars was narrating the story. The man fell down and he did not die. Nobody thought that this person is okay. Unless he will be injured, broken some part of his bones, for instance. But when they went to him, they found him healthy. So everyone is happy. He's happy, people are happy, you know. SubhanAllah, when I see this story, I say, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him down in a very healthy way so that he can rush to the ajal where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for his death to happen, you know. So he was healthy, because if he wasn't healthy, you know, maybe the ambulance would come and get him to another direction, and Allah doesn't want him to die in the hospital. Allah wants him to die in that place. So he told them, please just wait here. Let's celebrate this moment. He rushed to the shop to go and get some drinks for them. You know, subhanAllah, by the time he reached, he tried to cross the road, a speeding car came and hit him. He lost his life. So Qadr, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not write for somebody to die at a time, that person will never die until the time arrives. That's how I understood the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib when he says, "Utlubu al-mauta tuhab lakum al-haya." Look for death, life will be given to you. Meaning, relax. Yeah, because death is confirmed and is going to come. No matter how much you try to run away from it,
it is impossible for you to run away. It will come and meet you. So relax. Just focus on what can save you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after death, not death itself, because it is going to come. They told me about a sister. I told you her story one day that she doesn't use car. Why? Because of she believes that using car brings accident. And she was at home. A speeding car came and hit the place where she sat in the house, and she died. So that's it. Use whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make halal, and don't be scared of death. Be worried about, if I die, what next? Yeah. Take an idea. Not the death about this, I mean, itself, but worry about what will happen to me when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this. Am I ready to die or not? Is the most important thing to worry about rather than death itself. Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Let's go to questions, if any. This one, what is it? The battery finishes Ramadani. What is it? It's the battery. And that's. You're putting new one, right? Ramadani. You're putting the new batteries. Yeah. And it finishes like this. Very quickly.
No. This one is the new one.
Oh, the new one. Okay. So why didn't you give me the new one for the first?
Why this man? No.
It's okay.
I don't have access to the Zoom.
Nobody even asked in the Zoom, so alhamdulillah. They make your job easy. Yes, sir. So yeah.
Regarding raising the hand, when are we supposed to raise our hand during the dua? Because sometimes we see in Jummah prayer they raise the hands. Sometimes in the, for example, when someone passed away and they pray the green, they raise the hands. So is this, which are the times we're supposed to raise the hands and we're not supposed to raise the hands?
Any place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell us what to do, we raise up our hand in that place. Places where he did not raise up his hand, we don't raise up our hand in that place. Like Jummah prayer, the Prophet ﷺ did not raise up his hand when he was making the dua, and the dua is for the imam, not for the ma'mum. When he was making dua, he just put his finger up. So the imam is supposed to do like this, the khatib. That's why when one of them was making dua and he raised up his hand, one of the companions was annoyed. He says, Wallahi ma zada an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an rafa isbahu ila sama. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not add on top of raising up his hand to the sky. That's it. So if we want to make it correct, then we just raise up our finger, and that's it. Yeah. But other than that, any other place where Sharia is silent, then we raise up our hand up to the level of the chest. Unless in places like in the battles, like people go to the Kaaba and you see them raising up there as if they're going to bring the thing by themselves. So we just try to trace the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi to see what he did. Yeah, he raised up his hand like this, we do like that. Yeah, places where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not raise up his hand, we just suffice ourselves by this.
Should we say
Ameen
during the
It's better to keep silent. It's better to keep silent and listen to him.
I have a few questions, inshallah. My first question is it permissible when you make, when you buy something, is it permissible to make the payment in installments?
Yeah. It depends on what you're buying. If you buy gold or silver, you cannot make the payment in installment. You can't. Because delay in terms of payment, when you buy these things with currency, is riba. Yeah, so you cannot buy by installment. That's why buying gold online is wrong. I do buy gold online, but that's wrong. You cannot buy gold online. Yeah, unless if the price you're paying is rice, beans, chicken, you know. Something that there is no river between it and gold, then it's okay. You can buy online. How to buy online? To send chicken online. You can finalize the process online and
you pay it later. Yeah. Any delay is not acceptable. That's why the best opinion is the one that says even giving the check also is wrong. I buy your gold and I pay you, I give you the check, you go to the bank and get the money there. It's wrong. Why? Because the check might be faulty, has some problem in it. When you go to the bank, you will not be able to get the money. If you lose the check, what do? You go back to the person. Is he going to give you another one? Yes, because he doesn't lose anything. His money is there in the bank. He will write another one for you. What does that mean? That means you did not take your money yet. Because if I buy your gold and I told you, Qayyum, take the ringgit and I give you the ringgit. You went on the way, somebody, inshallah, will never happen. Somebody stopped you and tell me, give me the cash, and you gave him. Can you come to me and tell me, Ibrahim, Allah, that money was taken by another person? Can you do that? Yeah, maybe you say he is very kind, he will consider. But you will not do that. By right, you don't have a right to come back to me. Right, because I've already paid you. Yeah. What happens to you on the way, this is between you and those ones. Right? May Allah protect you and all of us. What I'm trying to say is if you lost the money, you cannot go back to that person. But if I give you the check and you go to the bank and you couldn't release the money, can you come back to me? Yes. I will write another one. Agree with Riva, even if you're not going to pay.
So for example, let's say I want to buy something from another country, and I get someone to buy it for me, and he comes to Malaysia and then he gives it to me. So he'll buy the thing in his currency. So when I pay him, do I pay him, according to the currency?
You can do both. You can pay him in ringgit, you can pay him in whatever currency he uses.
He will buy it, let's say, last week, and the currency exchange between ringgit and that currency is so-and-so. So and then he gives it to me today. So do I pay him the currency exchange according to today or last week?
See, no sabar. No sabar, tada sabar, you know.
I'm sorry.
I was going to talk about that. Anyway, Qayyum. He has two ways, right? Number one is to pay in the currency. That's the easiest one. The currency where they bought the thing, you just pay in that currency. Number two is to use your currency, ringgit. If you're using the ringgit, it's okay. It's fine. Based on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, it's fine. But you have to observe two conditions. Number one, to pay in the current exchange rate. Not the exchange rate when he was making the payments there. You get it? We pay based on the current, today's rate. I'm paying today, right? So we check, we see what is the rate. The rate is this. We use that one. We don't go behind. You get it? Number two, they must make sure that the payment has been done. Is done completely. For instance, if the conversion, let's say he did it in dollars, and the conversion is 40,000 ringgit. I have to pay the 40,000 ringgit all on the spot. I told him, Qayyum, I don't have dollars, but I have ringgit. And the conversion today is 40,000 ringgit equivalent to what you have paid on my behalf. Do you agree? Yes, I agree. Okay, come. Then I told you, Qayyum, I think I only have 39,000 ringgit. So I give you 39,000 ringgit. Inshallah, tomorrow I complete. This is riba. You get it? So we agree that the current exchange rate is 40,000. I have to pass the 40,000 to you completely, right on the spot. If I delay some part of it, then it will be riba. You get this one right. So these are the two conditions to be observed. You can pay in another currency, but you must make sure that you take the current exchange rate and also you pay all
what is necessary on the spot.
Exactly.
I mean,
Sheikh, there's a question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykhuna. Assalamu alaikum fi dunya wa akhirah. Should we keep our hands back on our chests after getting up from the ruku'?
A long way to not talk about this issue. There's a controversial matter amongst the scholars whether we keep our hand or we put it at ease, right? And both are using hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to support their side. That you get an idea. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you make ruku when you come back, come up from the ruku, you should wait for the bones to go back to their position. Yeah, you have many scholars who said the position of the bone is to just relax, right? Because you don't see people walking like this, yeah? And you have other scholars who said, no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is talking about prayer. Prayer has its own definition, and there is a place for everything in the prayer. Where was the hand before the ruku? It was on the chest. And you remove them from your chest because of ruku. You went to the ruku. When you come back, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let the hands go back to their position. What is the position of the hand before the ruku? Chest. Yet since we are in the prayer, we have to restrict our understanding to the prayer. So he says, let the hands go back to their position. You know, so it means where they were before the ruku. And that's the closest opinion, as one of our scholars said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he is standing, his hands are on his chest. Al-amru fihi sa'a. And inshallah, whatever a person is doing is okay. No blame. You don't blame anyone. But if he asks you for advice, advise him to put the hand in on the chest rather than leaving them going at ease.
The adhkar in the morning and the evening, is there, what's the proper way to do it? Is it to sit in at what time you finish it all, or is there
a no, it's up to you. It's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say you have to sit in a place. It's up to you. You can go out of the masjid in your car, just do that. Yeah, make it easy so and flexible so that you can be able to maintain. Because if you insist that you have to stay in the masjid and do them, sometimes you might not be able to sit because you have to make it flexible. That between Maghrib and Asr, I will do my other car. Whether I'm walking or I'm driving or I'm in the masjid, out of the masjid, I'm going to do that car. You get Allah grant is good.
Ameen.
Finish?
No more questions.
No more questions.
I don't see any more coming
in. Alhamdulillah. Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kathir. Subhanakallahumma. Wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.